When you picture a saint, what comes to mind? Perhaps someone gentle, quiet, and agreeable. Well, Saint Henry II might completely change the way you think about holiness. Stay tuned. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. We're grateful to all those who quietly helped this apostolate continue reaching souls through Padre Pio's spiritual legacy. Today's reflection may touch your heart in ways you did not expect. Today is the feast day of Emperor Henry II, Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And in light of Padre Pio's advice to read and learn more about the saints, I want to share with you a reflection about him by Professor Plinio Cuera de Oliveira. Now, if you've never heard about this saint before, prepare yourself because we're stepping back 1,000 years into the heart of the Middle Ages. The professor begins. People have a very mistaken idea about holiness. They think holiness consists of smiling, agreeing with everything, and forgiving everything. But people have no notion of the overall stature and bearing of holiness. Part of this comes from the factories that produce religious images and statues, always portraying saints with little faces that make it hard to believe anyone ever looked like that. For example, men with smooth little faces and timid little looks. But when one examines the reality closely, it is completely different. These were saints of extraordinary personality, men and women who left their mark on their era. And yet, they are presented in such a strange way, as if they had no personality, without boldness, without one of the virtues without which no one becomes a saint. A saint is declared heroic in the 3 theological virtues and the 4 cardinal virtues. The theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity. The cardinal virtues are justice, fortitude, temperance, and prudence. Therefore, one of the virtues without which no one can be holy is the virtue of fortitude. What does the virtue of fortitude consist of? It consists precisely in using the necessary strength in the struggles fought in this world, struggles against oneself, against the enemies of the faith, against the enemies of the church, or against those who unjustly make themselves our enemies. Therefore, we must restore the true image of the saint, which includes this courage. And perhaps this message speaks to many of us today. It is not always easy to remain faithful in a world that often rewards compromise and discourages conviction. Many people carry these struggles quietly, asking God for courage in their families, workplaces, and daily lives. Some of our viewers choose to become protected children of Padre Pio, entrusting these intentions to a spiritual family united in prayer. Through regular holy masses and shared intercession, they seek the same strength and perseverance that helped the saints remain faithful in difficult times. If that speaks to your heart, you can learn more through the link below. The professor then gives a biographical sketch of Saint Henry. Listen to this. Saint Henry placed his army under the special blessings of God and relied upon the protection of the great saints, especially venerated by his people. Among them, he chose Saint Adrian, a martyred military officer whose sword had long been preserved as a treasured relic. Thus armed, he organized an army to rebel the barbarian invasions coming from the northern peoples, defeating them in Poland and Bohemia. When confronting the Slavs, who were much stronger in number, Saint Henry ordered collective prayers and Holy Communion for the entire army. As the first troops prepared for battle, sudden panic spread among the enemy, and they fled in disorder. The enemies submitted, and Bohemia, Moravia, and Poland became tributaries of the Holy Empire. He later convened a council of bishops in Frankfurt with the purpose of strengthening ecclesiastical discipline within his states. Twice, he had to subdue the Lombards, who threatened the papal states. He was later forced once again into military campaigns in Italy. While he consolidated his territories internally and secured peace with eastern neighbors, the Lombards, allied with Greeks and Normans, devastated the provinces of Italy. They were not pagans, but heretics, Arians, enemies of the Catholic faith, and they frequently attacked the Pope, who ruled Rome and the surrounding territories. The monarch prepared to punish them. He defeated them in several battles, drove back all his enemies, subdued Lombardy, restored the church to possession of the invaded lands, and re-established peace throughout the peninsula. For this reason, the Pope crowned him and his wife Emperor and Empress of the Holy Roman Empire. Returning to Germany, he held the famous meeting on the River Meuse in 1023 with Richard the Good, King of the French. There, the two princes reached friendly agreements concerning the great Christian and political problems of Europe. Court protocol required that the meeting take place in the middle of the river, each ruler remaining in his own boat. But St. Henry, out of admiration for the virtues of the French prince, broke protocol, crossed the river, and went to greet the King of France on the opposite shore. The emperor, being more important than the French king, could have demanded that the king come to him. But St. Henry, filled with Catholic spirit and diplomatic wisdom, did the opposite. The greater ruler honored the lesser. The professor then steps back to give us the historical context, because without it, we would not fully understand the kind of great man St. Henry really was. We are in the heart of the Middle Ages, around the year 1014. As you know, the Middle Ages began with the fall of the Western Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was invaded by countless barbarians. The empire itself was already rotten from the remains of pagan corruption, but these barbarian peoples were savage tribes who settled within the empire and subjected the Romans to their rule. Little by little, the old Roman population also fell into barbarism. Roads were no longer maintained. Aqueducts bringing water to the cities collapsed. Cities sank into filth. Palaces were corrupted by savage barbarians and decayed completely. Works of art were smashed in the streets. Everything representing civilization and culture was miserably destroyed. Europe even fell into illiteracy and into the most brutal customs imaginable. It took centuries for Europe to return to civilization. The peoples of Europe slowly developed under the influence of the church, which was the only institution that remained standing after everything else dissolved. So we are dealing with a semi-barbaric world. Certain regions possessed some degree of civilization, while others remained literally savage. Thus, throughout Europe, there existed islands of Christendom, islands of emerging Catholic civilization surrounded by pagan barbarian peoples constantly attacking and waging war. For Catholics, it was extraordinarily difficult to survive against enemies on every side. One of the peoples who converted earlier than the others were people who occupied roughly the territory corresponding today to Germany, Austria, and parts of Czechia and Switzerland. These peoples became civilized and formed a political entity known as the Holy Roman Empire. It was called an empire because by its greatness it was meant to include all Christian peoples, not by domination, but as a federation of free peoples led, not ruled, by a common temporal leader elected by the rulers of the Christian states. It was Roman because it recalled the ancient Roman Empire that had once encompassed the known world. And it was holy because its principal purpose was to defend the Catholic religion against pagan aggression. Henry was an emperor elected to lead the Holy Roman Empire, and a saint in the full sense of the word. Yet, he was placed in a situation not often shown in the popular lives of the saints. He stood at the head of all the political organizations of Europe in his time, the most powerful man in Europe. But at the same time, he had the obligation to be the best statesman, the best warrior, and the best son of the Church. Above all, he had to protect the Church against barbarism. Like all saints, he fulfilled his duties magnificently. After rendering all these services, Saint Henry died in the peace of God, a great Catholic and a great saint. He died surrounded by honors and success. That is the story of Saint Henry. And with this, the professor concludes. So here's the question this reflection leaves us with, a practical test for today. How do I react when someone tells me that holiness includes fortitude? Do I feel uncomfortable because I prefer a faith that demands nothing, a Christ who never offends, a Mary who only smiles? Or do I feel encouraged to proclaim my faith more boldly? If the former, then perhaps I have been formed more by the factories of religious images than by the lives of the saints themselves. Let us ask Saint Henry to obtain for us the virtue of fortitude, the steady, unafraid strength to defend what is holy, even when it costs us our comfort. Wishing you all a blessed feast day. Thank you for spending this time with us today. If this reflection touched your heart, please subscribe and continue journeying with us through the spiritual legacy of Padre Pio. And if you feel called to become part of our prayer family as a protected child of Padre Pio, you'll find the link below. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you.